Ramsey TV.
Referencing my own video yesterday, I have to ask you, why can't I use the out of an overabundance of caution argument to not wear a mask? Follow me on this. Follow me on this because I make sense for a living. By the way, this is Martin Zender. Great to see you again. I love looking at you every day. Being able to talk about the great glories of God in Christ and a few irritants along the way that need expressed, vented. The argument, if you watched yesterday's video, of out of an overabundance of caution, we're just going to wear masks all the time. Out of an overabundance of caution, we're going to stay 6 feet away from everybody. Even though it's not proven that these dreaded water droplets go only 6 feet. What, if you're 5 feet and 11 inches away, you're in the danger zone, but 6 foot, 1 inch, you're out of the woods? And these cities are going into curfews. Absolutely ridiculous. A friend of mine's telling me in Canada now, parts of Canada, they have curfews at 6 p.m. What does that have to do with anything? At 5:59, you're completely safe. At 6:01, the demon lurks around the corner. Out of an overabundance of caution, we're going to have everybody stay inside at 6 p.m. Okay, that is too much caution. In my humble opinion, my question is, the one question I'm posing to you at the beginning of this show, I'm going to turn a corner here, don't worry. Why can't I use the out of an overabundance of caution, I'm not going to wear a mask? It was brought up to us by an attentive listener, viewer, the other day that, well, you know, I was making the joke that it wasn't really a joke. Yeah, I guess it was kind of a joke. These people that are just constantly breathing their own carbon dioxide. This person said, nobody, it's never proven that anybody can actually die from breathing their own carbon dioxide. Yes, but out of an overabundance of caution, you see, I'm not going to take the chance. Surely you can get sick by breathing your own carbon dioxide continuously. How about bisonosis? You ever heard of bisonosis? Yeah, I got it right here. Bisonosis. It is a disease that you get from breathing in cotton dust. Breathing in cotton dust or dust from other vegetable fibers such as flax or hemp. Well, there's a very small chance that you could ever do. But there's a small chance. So out of an overabundance of caution, I don't want to get bisonosis. Out of an overabundance of caution, therefore, I am not going to wear a mask. How's that? I have an overabundance of caution. Doesn't seem to work both ways for some strange reason. I mentioned yesterday, you know, let us roll the dice. Let us be crazy people if we want to go out without a mask. You're putting other people at risk. Again, like I said yesterday, let them wear it. Let them wear the mask. How am I rolling the dice when the survival rate for this SOB is over 99%? In most cases, over 99.5%. In most cases, over 99.8% survival rate. Doesn't sound like you're rolling much of a dice when you go out and open yourself up to the risk of getting something with a survival rate of 99.8%. And they're showing now that asymptomatic people don't spread it. Yeah, asymptomatic people don't spread it. So if you have symptoms and you have it, stay home. But don't make the rest of us do it. We want to roll the dice. So that's my leftover rant from yesterday. Let's turn to John 3:16. John 3:16. As this, the famous passage, as this reads in the King James Version, it's sad. It's sad. Why is it sad? Follow me. In the King James Version, John 3:16, God so loved the world. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. God so loved the world. Oh, doesn't he love it anymore? He loved it back then. He doesn't love it anymore. Puts it in the past tense. There's another verse. This is a good example. In 2 Timothy 1:10, Paul writes about God abolished death. Past tense. He abolished death? Really? When was that exactly? Because some really good friends of mine have died recently. In the Greek, there is a very unique construction that is not recognized in the common English versions. It's a tense of the verb, really, and I learned this 30 years ago as I began to study the concordant version, concordant literal New Testament, found out why it was so good. Not only does it employ a system for translating words, affixing one English equivalent to each Greek word based on context, one word that fits every occurrence of that Greek word, and then not using that English word for any other Greek word. It's like they take the Greek word cosmos, and they make that, they study the context, and they say, well, that means world. So we're going to take the word world, and we're going to glue it to the Greek word cosmos. And every time we see the Greek word cosmos, we're going to put world. This is the way you're actually translating instead of interpreting. It's like solving a puzzle. You don't really know what you're coming up with yet until you go through the mechanics, and it's a system. Well, that doesn't sound very spiritual, Martin, to have a system. Yes, it is the most spiritual thing you can do because it respects God's words. Well, not only did I find out that there was a version that consistently translated, but there was a version that recognized a very important tense of the Greek verb. And that tense is called the aorist tense. That's what the Greeks call it. I didn't make it up. A-O-R-I-S-T. It's an interesting word. The prefix A is not or no, and the rest, wrist, is horizon. The aorist tense is no horizon. In other words, it's timeless. It's the indefinite form of the verb. It's not past, it's not present, it just is. It turns an act, like something that happened, into a fact. I'm going to show you how that is. Well, let's just do the 2 Timothy 1:10, speaking of God who abolished death. No, it's not in the past. It's in the aorist. How do you tell? Well, it's simple in the Greek. When you look at the little Greek letters, there's a letter called epsilon, which is added to a verb to represent the past. There's a letter called sigma, which is put on the verb to represent the future. The strange, weird thing about a verb that has both the past and the future, well, that's the strange thing I just said. The strange thing is when, wait a minute, what are we doing with an epsilon and a sigma here? These two aren't drinking partners. They're not good bed buddies. They don't belong together. One's the past, one's the future. Ah, but when the verb has both the epsilon and the sigma, it indicates that something weird is happening here. What's happening here is God is using this beautifully detailed language to tell us something, that this is a unique tense. It's a timeless thing. It's indefinite. You can't lock it into the past. You can't say it only belongs to the future. It's a fact. It becomes a state of being, you might say. So in 2 Timothy 1:10, where the King James had God, has God abolished death. That doesn't make sense, because he didn't abolish death. But the concordant, recognizing the aorist tense here, where it has no horizon, that's the meaning of aorist. Concordant translates it, God who abolishes death. Like, that's what he does. He abolishes death. That's what that's his calling card. You look at God's business card. What do you do for a living? I abolish death. If it says, I abolished death, it doesn't make sense. And I'm going to show you how this is such a beautiful thing in Ephesians. But first, let's go to John 3:16. Concordant version is beautiful here. Here's my concordant version. I've had this Bible since 1986. It's gotten a lot of use. Listen to the concordant version, how great this is. For thus God loves the world, so that he gives his only begotten Son. Gives. Continuously does it. He's continuously giving him, and he's continuously loving the world. Thus God loves the world. The King James also screwed up here. Well, why not? The King James has been convicted of containing over 20,000 translating errors. They said God so loved the world. He so loved it. It's like an emotional world. He loved it so much. It's like you get these Valentine's cards. I love you so much. It's like forever and ever and ever. That nonsense. It's just, I love you so much. No, love is love. And if it's the Greek word agape, then it's God love, which is, that is, it doesn't consider the worthiness of the object. It loves because it is love. It doesn't stop or start with your worthiness. So, it's not that God so loved the world. It's thus God loved the world. It's like thus. It's like you're making a gesture toward the cross. See this? Thus. This is how God loves the world. Thus, God loves the world that he gives his only begotten son. Wow, that makes so much more sense. God loves the world. It's a continue. It changes a fact. It changes an act to a fact. It was an act. God did love the world back then. He loved the world, but he loves it. Epsilon Sigma. Ooh. Why do they treat that as the past? Because they don't know about it. I don't know. Obviously, it's a technicality in the Greek, but don't you think it's important? Yeah, it's important, because without it, you're going to get some wrong ideas. This really shines in Ephesians, as I was intimating. I can't get too close to this because I might get bisonosis. I don't get too close to my pages. There might be some cotton fibers in here. Feeling the bisonosis coming on, so I'm not going to walk around all day like this. This is what people with masks do. They walk around all day. Well, Martin, don't worry. Nothing's going to happen. It's never been scientifically proven that anyone's ever died from inhaling cotton particles or their own carbon dioxide, which is a poisonous gas. Don't worry about it. Yeah, but due to an overabundance of caution, I'm just not going to do it. Okay, here we go. Ephesians, especially around verse 2. I mean, now let's just start with chapter 1. I was going to say especially chapter 2, but let's start with chapter 1. I should compare this to the King James Version. Let me do that. This is going to live Bible study here. Ephesians 1, King James Version. It seems like a sin to go to this, but Ephesians chapter 1, KJV. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God to the saints, so far some good. Oh my goodness. Listen to this in verse. Listen to this in verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. What's the matter? Can't you see the epsilon and the sigma? Listen to verse 3 in a concordant version. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who blesses us with every spiritual blessing among the celestials in Christ. Isn't that nice? Now, that's just one example. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love, wherewith he loved us. Wherewith he loved us. Past tense. No, it's the aorist. Ephesians 2:4 concordant version. God, being rich in mercy, because of his vast love with which he loves us. Loves us. Now the concordant goes on in this wonderful vein. He vivifies us together in Christ. In grace you are saved. Rouses us together and seats us together. Vivifies us. This is what he does. Vivifies us together in Christ. And rouses us together and seats us together among the celestials. See, we're not dealing with the timing of any of these things. We're dealing with the fact of these things. But if you read the King James Version, you can get confused. King James, Ephesians 2:5, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. Quickened, past tense. By grace you are saved. And hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ. Now, I was telling a friend that this seats us together among the celestials in Christ. I said that was a promise. It's a figure of speech here called prolepsis, calling what is not as though it were. But my friend, reading in a version much like the King James, which doesn't recognize the aorist tense, argued and said, well, no, this is not a promise that we will sit among the celestials. It's totally figurative will never sit among the celestials. I said, why would you say that? Well, because she said, my version says, and hath raised us up together. And that precedes and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So reading this version, she rightly said, he has raised us up together. Well, that didn't happen. He never raised us up together with him. We're still here on the earth. So how do we know we're going to be seated among the celestials in Christ, among the heavenly places? That's all figurative. It's all figurative, Martin. I said, consider this. You're reading from a version that treats the aorist tense as the past tense. What about this? He vivifies us together in Christ and rouses us together and seats us together among the celestials. So he vivifies us. He didn't vivify us in the past. He vivifies us. When it's time, he will vivify. He will, that is, bring us life beyond the reach of death. It's what he does. And rouses us together. This will happen at the snatching away. This is what he does, but the timing of it is the snatching away. We know that from another passage. The aorist tense has no horizon. It's not trying to peg the time. If you think it's the past, then you're not looking for it to happen anymore because you think it's figurative. Oh, he raised us together. No, he raises us together. When? 1 Thessalonians 4, the snatching away, is going to raise us together with the dead. But as it's stated in Ephesians 2, it's a timeless thing. It's not trying, again, I repeat this, it's not pegging the time for us. And if you think it is, you're going to miss that it's a great future event. You're going to think, well, he already somehow raised us. He already somehow vivified us. Hath quickened us, it said, past tense. That is, raised us. The King James uses quicken for resurrect, raise from the dead. When has he quickened us? When has he raised us from the dead? Hasn't yet. When has he given us immortality? The Concordant Version says vivifies, to be given life beyond the reach of death. He hasn't done it yet. But if you think that's past tense, and if you look and you say, well, no, he hasn't done that yet, then you're going to see, and seats us together among the celestials, you're going to see that as this won't really happen because the rest of it is obviously figurative, but because it hasn't happened. I know I'm reiterating this, but it's very important when you realize, and you can only realize it from a version that recognizes this special tense, when you realize that the aorist is not trying to peg the time, it's giving a timeless, here it is, thank you, I finally said it, it's giving a timeless fact that this is what God does, and this is what he will do, then it remains then to go to other passages to find out when that thing happens. God rouses people from the dead, that's what he does, he raises people from the dead. The next question would be, oh good, when's he going to raise us from the dead? Right. Right. But if you say God raised people from the dead, you're like, oh, shit, I missed it. Oh, when did that happen? He quickened us. Oh, really? When did that happen? I missed it. No, he quickens us. He quickens people. He makes people alive. When am I going to get that? There you go. There you go. He rouses us together. Rouses us together. You look in the King James, it's like a past tense. He roused us. He raised us up together. There it is, verse 6. And it hath raised us up together. Oh, when did I miss it? No, you didn't miss it. That's what he does. He raises us up together. Your next question is when? Oh, when does he do it? At the snatching away. This opens up your need to delve into other scriptures to find out when it's going to happen for you. But again, if you think it's past tense, then you think it's already happened. Like, God so loved the world. Ah, damn it, I wish I'd been alive then when he loved the world. No, God loves the world. Oh, really? How do I get in on this? Believe what we're telling you. Believe the evangel. Again, 2 Timothy 1:10. Christ Jesus who abolished death. He did? He abolished death? But I buried my mother last week. What do you mean he abolished death? It makes you lose confidence in God. But when you find out who abolishes death, that's what he does. Then you look into other scriptures and find out that he abolishes death for different people at different times. Ladies and gentlemen, this scripture study into the beautiful aorist tense of the Greek has been brought to you by yours truly, Martin Zender. But I recommend to you the Concordance Literal New Testament. If you're going to read the Word of God, if you're going to go to the trouble and the bother to want to know what God said, why not look at a version that consistently translates Greek words and that knows the aorist tense when it sees it?